Welcome to the Exec MBA podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. On this episode of the podcast, I'm excited to feature my recent conversation with Nicole Reyna. Nicole is a second-year student in our Executive MBA class of 2022, and she's also a member of the Executive MBA Diversity Committee. Nicole and I recently connected via Zoom to talk more about her background, how she decided to pursue an MBA, what led her to Darden, how her experience has gone so far, and so much more. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation. So without further ado, here is my interview with Nicole Reyna. Nicole, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Brett. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited. It's my first podcast ever.
You would be surprised maybe to hear that for many of our guests here on the Exec MBA podcast, this is their first podcast ever. I like to believe it's just the first of many podcasts that you'll eventually be on, that this is the gateway to podcast stardom, maybe. We'll see.
Fingers crossed.
There you go. All right. Well, how's everything going? You doing okay?
I am. We just wrapped up the week before finals, and I'm actually feeling good about this quarter, and I'm feeling good about finals. So yeah, I think I'm in a good headspace right now.
Well, let's talk about the classes that you're taking right now. So I've been around your class a bit over the past few weeks and had a chance to see your classmates. This past weekend, we went to Nats Park. There was a weekend residency, a lot happening. I think you're taking business ethics, FMP, essentially a finance course. And then what's the third course in the quarter?
I'm doing an elective. There was a choice between the consulting process and design thinking and creativity. And I chose the consulting process with Vivian, who, as you know, was a big lady at McKinsey in the healthcare world. And it was her first time teaching this class, and it's been fantastic.
Nice. Well, how does it feel to you to be in the second year of the program? Is it surprising to you? Do you feel like a second year student at this point?
It feels good. It feels good to be in the second year. I can't believe that it's already the second year. I think everybody feels that way. We sort of are realizing that it's August, but it sort of feels like we just started and we're here already, and it's feeling really good. I think it's like the first time that I've really sat down and reflected, like, hey, I am accomplishing something big here, and we should all pat ourselves on the back for getting to this point. So it's feeling really good.
One of the things that's really important for executive MBA students and MBA students generally, you're so busy while you're doing the program, it can be really hard to take a moment and celebrate yourself. And just each quarter is an achievement, you know, each getting through these few classes that you're taking here and finishing exams, that's an accomplishment unto itself. It's important to take stock and celebrate that.
Definitely. I had just hosted my parents out here in DC for the first time. I hadn't seen them, not the first time, but first time since COVID. And I had individual chats with both my parents. And I think speaking with them really helped me reflect on what we're doing here. So that was also helpful, getting an outsider's perspective.
Had to be nice to see your family for the first time in a long time.
It was awesome. They flew out from California and were out here for an entire week. So that was really great. And I don't care what age you are, if your mom or dad makes you dinner, it is the best meal in the world.
It's very true. I always notice that when I go visit my parents in North Carolina, the food is a lot better than whatever I can come up with on my own. So there's something really nice about being home or have home come to you. So let's talk a little bit more about you and your background. So who are you? What do you do currently? And what's your story?
Sure. Well, I grew up in California, and I moved out to DC about 5 or 6 years ago. And this whole time after graduating from journalism school, I went into a corporate investigative research firm and have sort of moved around in a lot of different functions, from being an individual contributor to more of a management role, where I'm dealing a lot with bringing in clients, client management, dealing with proposals, scoping out projects, and most recently, since I've been at Darden, which is really exciting, I'm sort of transitioning into a hybrid role, which is going to allow me to kick off our diversity, equity, and inclusion initiative at work, which is a really big deal. It's the first time we've ever done anything like this before. And I actually just made the announcement about it at work a couple of weeks ago and had to give a presentation to all of our partners. And I prepared by talking with one of the Darden coaches, just, you know, about my nerves and presentation. And it was super helpful and I felt a lot better about it. But that's sort of where all of my energy and excitement is going these days, is leading this initiative and working with our chief people officer.
So Nicole, obviously sounds like a very exciting time for you at work. I'm curious about how you got interested in pursuing an MBA.
I have been considering, had been considering business school for years. I just knew it was something that I wanted to do. Being a humanities undergraduate, there were obviously certain opportunities skill-wise that I was not exposed to. And a lot of my day-to-day role was very much kind of on the analytical side, but not using more of these hard quantitative skills. At the same time, I was looking at, you know, Fortune 500 companies and evaluating for private equity firms and having that kind of knowledge and just being able to speak the language would be a huge boost for me and being able to sell to our clients and feeling more informed. And it was also just a personal goal of mine to get my MBA. And it took a long time to get here, but I think everything happens for a reason, no matter how cheesy that sounds. This was the right time in my life for me to do it. And I'm really happy with the journey so far.
Well, let's talk about that timing question. This is something that comes up a lot with our working professional students. And we always say that there's not a perfect time, but there may be windows of opportunity or better times to pursue a graduate degree, to add an MBA, working professional program onto your existing schedule. How did you think about timing? And you know, how did you determine that this was a good time for you to do this?
There were a couple factors in play. One of them being just that we all know going back to school is a massive financial commitment that you need to be very prepared for. And that was one consideration. And over the years, I just wanted to try some different opportunities at work where I wasn't quite ready to walk away. I had actually envisioned myself going to a full-time residential program and had gone through that process for some schools. And, you know, no matter how many times I went to open houses for these schools, I just didn't quite see myself there. So I think when you're making that kind of commitment, you want to feel really excited about where you're going. So I put a pause on that. And eventually, the other factor was that my boyfriend, now fiance, and I had to, you know, have some serious chats about life planning and where we want to be. And I eventually got connected through him to some friends that were either in the program or had recently graduated. And that was kind of what made me feel good about pursuing this. I can't say enough good things about, you know, alums of the program who are so generous with their time. And then we just decided that this was a good opportunity, and that's when I went for it.
So Darden ended up on your radar through personal connections, or was it those personal connections plus research you had already done? Curious, yes, how you got interested in this particular program.
Yes. Well, Darden was always, you know, on the radar, but to be honest, I was too intimidated to apply to Darden for a long time. And I'm really glad that I ended up talking to people in the program, because I think it's very easy for people to sit at home and, you know, come up with these conclusions about reputations about certain schools. And even if you go on campus, which I did, there's something to be said about speaking to people who are currently, you know, in the weeds going through it, or people who have recently graduated, because they're going to give you the, you know, the real situation of how it's going to be, I think. So that really helped me as well. But of course, yes, I had done tons of research. As I said, I'd been wanting to apply for years. So I sort of had this like crazy Excel sheet of like all these schools and, you know, different scenarios. And yeah, but really talking to alums is what helped me make the choice.
Well, I want to stay with this comment that you made about being intimidated by Darden and sort of the feelings that you had about what the experience was like before you engaged with the people who were in the program, who had recently graduated from the program. What was it about Darden that kind of made you feel like, I'm not sure, that made it feel a little intimidating to you?
Well, it's a really great school, number one. And number two, I don't know. Like I said, it's sort of just the MBA world, when you're preparing for it and really getting into the research component, I think that, I don't know, certain schools have certain reputations. And I think that I was feeling like if I don't fit into this certain mold or this certain career track, maybe I'm not a good fit for it. But I will say that when I started my MBA search like years ago, the typical MBA student has really developed. And I can obviously speak to that because I'm not like a traditional student. And I think that stereotype has really pretty much gone away. You have people from so many different backgrounds, and it's not just, you know, the consultant investment banker that had been kind of the protocol candidate for so many years. So I think that also kind of helped with me not feeling as intimidated. So honestly, it was probably mostly in my head from not chatting with people.
But that's not uncommon. As an admissions person, to me, that feels very real and authentic. We talk to prospective students all the time, and it feels like sometimes they have conceptions about who's in this program and what kind of students are here and what you can do after the program. And a lot of our role is helping people understand that there are lots of different kinds of students here, that many different people can be successful here, that there's pathways for a lot of different career goals. That's one of the fun things about putting the class together, is just having so many different people, different backgrounds, perspectives, and you kind of always thinking about that learning experience. The fact that it is participatory, that matters a lot.
I've really appreciated that about the class, because there are so many people that I probably would never have crossed paths with. And that's another reason that I wanted to go to business school, the sort of personal piece. And it's just been really engaging and exciting to meet so many different people.
It's one of the things that we underscore for prospective students is, you know, the decision to come to Darden. There's many different reasons why someone could end up in this particular program, but it does offer people the opportunity to get outside of their bubble, not just in an abstract way, but in a very, very real, concrete way. You're going to come to class and you're going to hear from people who do things that are very different than what you do, from backgrounds that are very different than your own. And you're not just going to know that these people are in the room. You're actually going to hear from them, and you're going to hear their thoughts and ideas in the case discussions.
I think that hearing from them has in a way made me feel more confident for whatever reason. And I'm not quite sure how that works, but just hearing from people with different perspectives, and they're willing to just get out there and share it. And we're in a safe space, right? So that helps too. But I just really admire that. And it sort of gives me a little bit of a confidence boost, even at work, I think.
I can believe that. I mean, the emphasis on that it is a safe space, that everyone is there to learn and grow and develop, I think that's important. And there is something to this kind of rehearsal aspect. You know, the fact that you're practicing these skills, you're in a safe space, you know, sharing your ideas, articulating your viewpoints, stretching a bit, talking about things that you might not necessarily have direct personal experience with, you know, that all of these things, you're building confidence ultimately through through this process?
I think our ethics class was super relevant in that aspect too, in terms of hearing from different perspectives or situations that we may not have had experience with before.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your experience. So you come to Darden, you're now in the second year of the program. When you think back on the first year, one of the things that we always talk about here on the podcast are learning curves that everybody has. You know, this is a process for everyone, right? So whether it's subject matter, whether it's time management, whether it's just trying to kind of negotiate school in the flow of your life, there's always learning curves. Were there any learning curves that jumped out to you as you kind of reflected on your path on the past year, or things that you found to be an adjustment?
Yes, and I'm smiling right now because I am thinking of the many times that I have had phone calls with Laura Bordoni throughout the first year, just sort of frazzled and fragmented. I think that it was difficult coming to terms with the fact that I'm not going to be able to give the percentage of myself that I want to all the buckets in my life at one time, and having to be okay with that and sort of stepping back and saying to myself that this is a finite period of time where your life is going to be like this, and it's going to be such a big payoff at the end that you need to just calm down, Nicole. I think that it was rough for me, a little bit personal life, a little bit professional life, and socially just having to make those adjustments. And I think that if I didn't have such a supportive network, I'm not sure how it would have gone, but luckily I did. And, you know, there were resources for me at Darden. Certainly some of the alums that I had spoken to before applying were actually part of that support network, were there for me when I sort of would have my little freak out moments. And they're like, you're going to be totally fine. It's okay. I know exactly how you feel. And sometimes just being able to vent is a big help. In terms of skill set, I would definitely say, you know, one of the reasons that I came to Darden was to kind of refine that quantitative skill set. And that definitely was a learning curve for me. I think that it was helpful to have the class above us give their time very generously to go over some of the topics with us, do extra tutoring. That was a big help. But I mean, it is sort of like learning a new language for somebody that has never done accounting or finance. So I don't really have any tips on how to get better at that, but you will get through it.
Well, I think that's okay. I mean, there are no shortcuts through some of this stuff, right? Sometimes it just takes time and exposure. And we do have second year tutors now in the program, which is great. That was something that was introduced this year. I think students, as you noted, found it helpful. You also have subject matter experts in your class, maybe on your learning team, people who can really help you kind of unpack the information. And the thing, there's a couple of different thoughts I have related to particularly the subject matter. You know, one, if you don't have any background, we've talked with some students here on the podcast and say, okay, if you haven't taken accounting before, well, everything's upside. You didn't know anything about it before. You're learning all sorts of things now. So maybe don't benchmark to the accountant in the classroom. Benchmark to your former self. You know, what did you know about it before you began the program? What do you know about it now? And chances are, if you view it through that lens, you'll feel like you actually made quite a bit of progress. And so there's that. And, you know, your point around not being able to give yourself fully to everything in your life is really, really apt, and one that I think is important for students to keep in mind. It's hard for people in a program like this, the people who choose an executive MBA program, very motivated, very driven people, not used to being unable to devote 100% of themselves to something. And, you know, that's an important life lesson. It's an important skill in terms of prioritization, but it's not to say that it's something that comes easy.
Yeah, it definitely took several quarters for me to sort of get that in my head. But I don't remember which quarter it was, but we had an opportunity to hear from the class above us just generally about the program and classes. It wasn't electives time yet. I think that was going to come in a few quarters, but I think maybe it was just like a general check-in. I'm not sure. Anyhow, point is that someone there kind of said that it's okay that you're not doing that and no one expects you to. And sometimes some of these buckets are going to have to change. Like one week, it's going to have to be Darden on top. The next week, it might have to be school and you just have to be okay with that. So that was also helpful to hear from someone in the class above us.
Well, you mentioned at work, you're now moving into this diversity, equity, and inclusion space and doing this work. You're also a member of the diversity committee here in our executive MBA program. We've had some of your colleagues on the podcast to talk a little bit about the diversity committee. I wonder what attracted you to this work and to serving in this way?
So when I was doing my business school research back in the day, I actually had this interest in human capital. And the more that I researched that, I sort of found myself drawn towards diversity, equity, inclusion. Now it's obviously like a very hot topic. So I feel like hopefully I'm getting in at the right time. But I had spoken with a lot of folks who were in that role, and sort of the two pathways that I saw were, more traditional, like in HR, and this became a specialty, but a lot of people went to business school and did consulting and sort of like found themselves in this space. So that is obviously like an interest of mine, like professionally for being on it. But personally, I just feel that the values of diversity, equity, and inclusion are ones that are very important in all aspects of life, but especially in an academic setting where we're here to learn and we want to make sure that everybody has the same access and opportunities to learn and to be successful. I think it's also sort of about like leveling the playing field a little bit. We come from very different backgrounds, whether that's gender, race, socioeconomic status. And I really think that it's important to sort of pay it forward. Like we were able to get to this point, and I just want to try to do my best to help everybody feel like they are supported and are getting, you know, the opportunities that they should have here.
I think that that's very powerful, and it speaks to kind of the culture and the sense of community that exists within the program. I think that's sometimes surprising to prospective students that people are invested in the full experience in this kind of way. It's not just about getting an MBA. It's not just about schedule time, convenience, that there's also this layer of sort of extracurricular engagement, which is not always what people imagine when they think about working professional programs.
Yeah, that was another thing that I really liked about Darden, about this program, because you're exactly right. You don't normally think about that, but I was really interested when I heard that there was a program for women and for the different affinity clubs. And basically you can start any sort of club that you want if you have enough interest, which is great too. And I was really excited to be part of the Diversity, Equity, Inclusion Committee here. But yeah, it's really powerful to see how many people care about creating a strong community even before we met each other. I remember that people had, you know, set up these Zoom meetings, these happy hours, like once a week for us to get to know each other. And that was just like, you know, it sort of set the tone for the whole program, that everybody was already excited. They were ready to be sort of like vulnerable and get to know each other. It was really great.
Yeah, I think about your class, and I don't know if we'll ever have a class that was quite as motivated as the class of 2022 in terms of building connection prior to the start of school.
We were so desperate.
Well, it was an unusual time. You know, I mean, I think about those months, and from an admission standpoint, it felt like we were all on that journey together, so to speak, because, you know, March of 2020 rolls around, felt like the world changed significantly almost overnight. And then all of a sudden, here we are in this virtual environment and trying to think about how do you help build a community. We're always a school. We're a school that always, you know, cares about this. We think about it as a core value. But here we are now connecting virtually. And the way that I felt like your class responded and took on that leadership, even prior to the start of the program, those happy hours and WhatsApp conversation and just showing up for events, it felt like your class collectively knew each other better than any class we've ever had when orientation and leadership residency one, the first activities in the program, rolled around.
Yeah, and we had one of these gatherings at a big space outdoors. And it was sort of like online dating a little bit because we had all seen each other on Zoom. And then we were trying to figure out who's who with the masks and, oh, this person's taller than I expected, or this person's shorter, or whatever. It was just, it was really funny. And it was really great to like be able to meet those people in person that we had developed relationships with through Zoom and WhatsApp and, you know, LR1 and all of that. So it was great.
Yeah, I will say from an admission standpoint, I met a bunch of your classmates, felt like about a month or so ago down in Charlottesville for a weekend that happened down there, just giving the students the opportunity to kind of explore Charlottesville. Obviously, LR1 for your class was virtual and everybody, you know, really wanted to have that time on grounds, and so worked with the program team to make that happen. And I was struck during that weekend by how many people I was meeting in person for the first time. That is not typical for an admissions person in this kind of work, where we have this kind of personal interaction with candidates as they're not only doing their research, choosing the school, but also onboarding. But what a treat it was to be around people, and continues through these weekend residencies. It's been nice now that things are moving in a more in-person direction over the past couple of weekend residencies, and with quarter seven for your class coming around, I'm looking forward to seeing the 2022s a little bit more.
Yeah, it was great this past residency when we were able to go to the Nationals game together. And I know that some of the incoming class was there too. So it's nice to have a little bit of interaction with them, build a little bit of rapport, and hopefully make them feel a little bit more comfortable and excited about coming here.
Yeah, the thing I've really also appreciated about your class and the leadership from the Executive Student Association, just the students generally, is there's this desire to build connection across classes. And, you know, that feels very real to me, not just because it's Darden and this kind of sense of community, but also for anybody choosing to pursue an MBA in an executive format at this particular juncture in your life and your career. I think you could probably say this about MBA candidates generally. You want to meet as many people as you possibly can. You want to make as many connections as you possibly can. And so I've really appreciated the extent to which the 2022s have been curious about the incoming class. And we had 44 or so incoming students, class of 2023, at that ball game on Saturday night. And that was the first of hopefully many meetups between the two classes.
I definitely think we all want to meet a lot of people and make connections as much as possible. But I think it's also about taking a step back and realizing that, you know, when you start the program, it's like a fire hose turns off and it turns on and doesn't really turn off for quite a bit. And just to let people know that we're there for them is, I think, important. There were a few people in the class above us who went out of their way to make sure that we knew we weren't alone. And I think just creating more opportunities for folks in the incoming class to know that, especially in the first year, is really important. And that, if it's okay for me to talk about, that's one of the things that we're working on the Diversity, Equity, Inclusion Committee, is sort of restructuring some of the programs that we have to be more of, we're calling it an ambassadorship right now. That word might change. We're trying to figure out the right word. But anyhow, we want to create these opt-in opportunities for people in our class to participate in these like quarterly touch points with the folks that are incoming. And we're hoping to partner with some of the affinity groups and ways to do that. But basically, like, we're going to give our class the opportunity to participate as much as they want or as little as they want. But I have a feeling people are going to want to participate a lot, just especially from our experience, you know, just to be authentically there for the incoming class. And I think it is really important to remember that we are all working individuals. So that was another reason for wanting to make it not too formal and give a lot of flexibility, but also just making sure that we're paying it forward.
I was going to ask you what you're looking forward to in the months to come. It could be extracurricular, it could be curricular, it could be just personally. What are you looking forward to?
Well, I'm looking forward to creating that sort of program that I just mentioned, but I'm also looking forward to all the electives that I just signed up for. I think that there's one coming up with June West called Speaking About Business, which I'm really excited about. And I'm taking a mergers and acquisitions course next quarter, which I'm also excited about. A lot of the work that I do is related to mergers and acquisitions. And I think it's just interesting to look at it from a different perspective. I'm coming more on the due diligence side. So once the private equity firms have decided, like, this is kind of the direction we want to go in, but I'm curious to learn more about, like, how do we get to that point? Right now in finance too, we've been talking a lot about valuations. So I feel like it's kind of a perfect segue to go into M&A afterwards. So I'm very excited about that. And then personally, I'm excited because I finally found a wedding venue. I've been engaged since before school started, but obviously because of COVID, we've had a little bit of a holdup. So I'm personally excited about that. I'm going to be getting married like a couple of weeks after we graduate. So it's going to be a whirlwind second year.
Well, we have to ask. I'm sure our listeners are eager to know, where will your wedding take place?
It is going to take place about an hour outside of Seattle, near the San Juan Islands. So that's where we're going to be. And I'm very excited.
I was going to ask if it was going to be in Charlottesville, a wedding destination that Charlottesville is.
I know it's so popular, but I am getting married to somebody who is a fifth generation Washingtonian. And if I had it anywhere remotely near DC, including Charlottesville, we'd have to invite so many people. So that was another thing. And, you know, we both love the Pacific Northwest. So we wanted to create a little bit of a destination for people who, after the past, you know, I don't know, almost 18 months, have had a very rough time, and hopefully give people an opportunity to like let loose a little bit and enjoy themselves and celebrate.
Well, it sounds like you have an incredible few months ahead. What a whirlwind that will be, graduation and then your wedding. But congratulations on finding a venue. I know that takes a lot of time, and you already have a pretty full plate from the sound of things. So it's fantastic, Nicole. So last question, we asked the same last question of all of our guests here. For our prospective student listeners, do you have any advice, any tips you would share with them as they think about the next steps on their MBA journey?
Yes. I think the most important thing is to get buy-in and set expectations with all of the people, all the stakeholders in your life, whether that's a partner, your family, your children, even, you know, obviously your employer and any other sort of community or extracurriculars that you're involved in, and definitely with friends, to just tell them that this is what my life is going to be like. I hope you'll support me. This is how you can support me, and, you know, that you appreciate it in advance. And for me, one thing that I have done that I have found is helpful is at the beginning of every quarter, I'll usually set a meeting with my boss to just sort of give him a heads up of like what to expect. And it's just like a good touch point for us to have to see, you know, are things working the way that they're structured, and just being transparent with him.
I think that's fantastic advice. We encourage people not only to have these conversations early, but also often. That's the other piece. And check back in regularly. Every quarter brings its own challenges and its own, you know, some classes may require more of your time than others. Your life will continue it won't remain static. So, you know, it will ebb and flow and all of that, you know, at work also has implications for school and school has implications for work and personal stuff. This symbiosis between all of these things. So Nicole, thank you so much for taking time out of your day and sharing your experience with our listeners. And good luck with the second year of the program.
Thank you so much, Brett.
And that was my interview with Nicole Raymond, a second year student in our Executive MBA class of 2022. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at exec, that's E-X-E-C, MBA at darden.virginia.edu. Until next time, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening.